Reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and the first verse. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then one year later, God called me to preach. And boy, howdy, everything happened when he told me, when he called me to preach. I sure never dreamed that would be my life. I still wanted to be the best roofing contractor in Seattle, Washington. I had some tremendous accounts. But when God calls you, I would suggest that you say yes, because if you don't, you're going to be one miserable person. Well, listen, why don't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the 10th chapter of Acts? And let's begin reading with the 43rd verse. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. I have labeled this from sincerity to certainty. Oh, listen, the value of sincerity, it's the opposite of hypocrisy. Most respect sincere people. Now, here's the shortcomings of sincerity. One can be sincerely wrong. Sincere people have made tragic mistakes, and sincerity in error does not save. Listen, friends, I'll tell you about sincerity. I was flying from Spokane to Grand Forks, North Dakota. Well, you have to change planes at Fargo. One goes on east and one goes to Grand Forks. Well, I went into the ticket office after I landed and I got me a ticket from there to Grand Forks, and I went into the coffee shop to have a cup of coffee and wait for my plane, and all of a sudden as a voice came over the intercom, Reverend Cecil Moe, please report to the ticket office. So I went in there and they said, let me see your ticket. And on that ticket, it was taking me east on into, I thought, whoa. Now, I was sincere when I told them to Grand Forks, but I made a mistake. They made a mistake. Cornelius became certain of salvation. Now listen, Cornelius had been sincere but lost. I'm speaking to some people tonight who are very sincere. You're honest, you're wonderful people. You believe that there's a God. You believe there's a heaven, you believe there's a hell. But you're still lost. Peter was sent by the Lord to instruct him. Now, this is how Cornelius becomes saved and sure. Let's read the 43rd verse again. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Friends, there's no other way into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, Some people say, well, I'll tell you what, Cecil, I'm not sure I believe that, so I'm just going to go my way. Well, you're going to make a mistake. Go to the only book that you can stake your eternal life on, the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, no other way. Well, to give all the prophets witness, Cornelius had been devout. He wasn't a bad person. My stars in the morning, he feared God, as did his family. He was generous. He gave alms. He prayed without ceasing. Certainly, you've got to say there's something good about that man. There certainly was. But his sincerity was not enough to save him. Now, the angel told him to send for Peter. And let's turn back here to verse 8, I believe it is. My stars, you know my glasses are not as good as they should be. Well, anyway, God, an angel, told Peter that he was to go over and see Cornelius. Well, Peter was up on the roof, and he was fasting and praying, and all of a sudden he saw a sheet come down to heaven with cleaved horse animals, reptiles, birds, and four-footed animals of the earth. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, and kill and eat. I replied, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. This voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear into his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gifts as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Well, there it was. Now, you see, the Jews just didn't like these people. In fact, the matter is, beloved, Peter thought that the gospel salvation was just for the Jewish people. Can I make a confession here, dear friends? After I accepted Christ in that pastor's home, and the next week I went to the church, and then the following Sunday I joined the church, and I really believed that denomination was the only one going to heaven. I'm sorry, I hate to say that, but it's true. Well, why'd I say it? Well, I had talked to six different preachers before I talked to Brother Tom Baird, and not one of them told me about Jesus. They didn't tell me anything. But this man, Tom Baird, told me how to be saved, told me how to get delivered from alcoholism, and I believed him. I repented. I accepted Christ. My life was changed. And then I thought, well, maybe we're the only ones that's going to go to heaven. Well, Peter kind of felt that that's what he was a Jew. Well, there's no restriction on who can be saved. Christ died for all of us. This was a new truth to Peter. He had limited the gospel to the Jews. Now he had learned this good news was for everyone. Peter had struggled with a whosoever question. Friends, I recall one time many, many years ago when I was pastoring a church in Corbett, Oregon. This one particular Sunday, there was several visitors, and this one guy about 6'6", while I was preaching, jumped right up and said, Preacher, did I understand you to say that this church, your denomination, is the only one going to heaven? And I said, the Bible said, whosoever will may come, and went right back to preaching. That night, I introduced him and his dear wife to Christ, and later his teenage daughter. See, God had opened Peter's eyes through a vision. Well, when these messengers came for Cornelius, he went with them. He said, I'm supposed to go. How grateful we can be that all can be saved. Oh, listen to me. There's so many people tonight, maybe listening to this broadcast, who have lived a good life. You pay your bills. You don't beat your dog or your wife. And yes, and you even read the Bible. Yes, and you even go to church. And you go to Sunday school. You ask a blessing at the table. Certainly, you are going to heaven. Not so, beloved. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See now, all those things I mentioned before are good works. Yeah, you had good works. You have good works. But that will not get you into heaven. Some say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. That's what the rich young ruler said. But he didn't. He couldn't. Nobody can keep the Ten Commandments and get into the kingdom of heaven. It's not going to happen. Well, what good news. Listen, the sins of the past, Peacock, can be gone at last. Complete forgiveness through faith alone. Cornelius could be saved and certain. Friends, listen. I want to ask you, I've asked you that many times in the broadcast, can you go back to a time in your life when you recall that you were convicted of your sin and that you really believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you on Calvary? And can you remember when you bowed your head or knelt on your knees and said, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, please come into my heart and save me. Can you remember a time doing that? You say, no, Cecil, I've always been a Christian. In fact, the matters, that lady that her husband went to jail for swindling people, that evangelist, I heard her testimony on that program one time, and she said, I was born a Christian. Oh, friends, that's not true. That's Satan's greatest tool to make you believe that you don't have to do anything to get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, remember, I said, that salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You have to receive it by faith, and then you can have eternal life. But you have to confess to the Lord that you're a sinner. Remember when the two in the temple to pray, one got up and told God what a great man he was and how he gave to the poor and how he tithed all that he had, and he wasn't as bad as that guy next door to him in the temple. But the little fella in the, sitting beside him smote his breast and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said this man went to his home justified because he had confessed, repented, and received. That's it. Now you say, well, Cecil, what is this repentance? Repentance means godly sorrow, meaning that you're willing to turn your back on the way of life that you're living. Now you see, when I was when I went to this preacher's home, I had been drinking all day long. Now, I knew I was a sinner. I had never had any problem believing that I was a sinner. The only thing that bothered me, I did not believe that God could save a wretched man like me. That's the truth. I did not believe it. But you see, the preacher kept saying, but Cecil, let me read to you from the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Well, you remember when Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said, you must be from God, because no man can do the miracles that does except God be with him. Well, boy, was he ever surprised when Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, of course, Nicodemus said, well, you mean I can enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? And Peter said, and Jesus said, oh, Nicodemus, the wind blows and you can't see it. All you can see is the evidence. Well, it is with the Spirit of God. We can't see the Holy Spirit of God, but we can see the evidence. Now, when I came home that night or that morning from that preacher's home, when I left my house, I should say at 2 o'clock, I was out of my mind. I was so drunk, and I'm so ashamed to have to say that, but it's the truth. And I came home that morning around 6:30. I was cold sober. I was sane, and I was saved, and I was delivered, even though I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what being delivered meant. Now, the first thing you think of an alcoholic, when he gets out of a place, in a tight place, he goes to a bar to get a fix. Well, I didn't want to go to a bar anymore. The things I once loved, I now hate. That's what it happens when you're born again. The Bible said, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Friends, listen. What good news. The sins of the past can be gone at last. Complete forgiveness through faith alone. You don't have to do anything after you've repented and after you receive Christ. Then the Holy Spirit of God reveals to you that you have been born again. He gives you the assurance that you your sins are forgiven. Then he writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life. And then when you die, you are go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You go to heaven. And, oh, friends, listen. How much he had to do for you and for me. What he'd done on the cross of Calvary is unheard of. No one could do what Jesus did. I can't understand why a sinless, perfect person would want to die for me and want to die for you. But he did. They didn't take his life. He laid it down so that you and I could have eternal life. See, Cornelius could be saved and certain. We can be saved and certain too. No more wondering if we've been good enough. And that's what some of you are thinking tonight. Well, I'm good enough. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a whoremonger. No more sins. No more guilt over past sins. We can simply believe and be saved. Remember what when they come in that prison, that old prisoner, when Paul and Silas under said, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Can you believe that? That's exactly what he said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen. Proof that all can be saved. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. See, also baptism for those who were certain of salvation. Verse 47, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Let me ask you, friends, how certain are you tonight that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Many times I've asked when I go into prison, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Oh, that'll make you think. That'll sure make you think. And then when you decide, well, hey, listen, I can't get in it by myself, I better come in God's way. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. Some of you are living wicked lives. You've done some terrible things in your life. But God said, I'll forgive him if you'll tell me. If you'll confess your sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins. Not part of our sins, but all of our sins. Well, you say, Cecil, I'm convinced that I am not a Christian. Well, I didn't convince you. God's Holy Spirit convinced you. He's the one that draws your heart. Now, if you feel a tugging in your heart tonight and a drawing, then you should say, well, I guess that's a good sign that I'm lost. And if you are lost, won't you consider Jesus tonight? Let me lead you in the most powerful prayer man has ever prayed. And that prayer goes like this. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd call me at 303-471-8534. And listen, I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not write and ask you for any money, friends. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, I've been doing this for 46 years now on the radio, throughout the whole United States and even over in Africa and the Caribbean and Alaska. And I want you to know I've heard from hundreds and hundreds of people who said, I need Jesus. Listen, if you can't afford this phone call, if you call me collect, I'll accept the charge. I'm waiting by my phone, 303-471-8534.
Yes, the light from that old light.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I really want to thank you for listening in tonight. Friends, listen, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I was smart enough to yield to God's Holy Spirit when He called me to salvation. Tonight, He might be calling you to salvation. He might be calling you to service. I don't know what God wants for your life, but He'll tell you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. Now, you can either say yay or nay. I suggest you say yay, and then you'll find out what it is to be happy in the Lord. Well, friends, be sure and pray for my health and my diabetes, that I'll, my blood sugar will start to come down normal. Pray for my wife and my quartet as we go to prisons. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.